All right, everybody. Hey, hey. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. That was I Can Show You the World. Our show is Let's Create a Better World. And I'm Bobby Elias, your host of Let's Create a Better World. We do a lot more on healing, all the new things that are breaking into the health field to help people stay, live longer and be healthier. We're into body, mind, spirit, aging, you name it. And our host, our co-host, Divine, is on the line, too. Hi, Divine. How are you?
I'm wonderful, Bobby. How about yourself?
Great. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Perfect.
Good. Good, good, good. All right, good. And we have a great show on shamanism today, right?
Yes, I am super excited. We have Maya, who is very talented and a gifted shaman healer, who has studied contemporary and ancient healing methodologies and is a longtime practitioner of meditation, mantras, yoga, and more. So super excited to have Maya with us today.
Oh, great, great. Real good. A couple of quick announcements. Everybody get your pen and paper out. I'm going to give you a phone number where you can hear in case you can't call at the time of this show, which is 7 p.m. Eastern time every Monday. You can hear 5 of the most recent shows of ours on the number I'm going to give you now. It's 24 hours a day on your phone. You can hear our shows. In fact, 90% of all the people that call PRN, because we're getting more and more social media people, more younger people all over the world, mostly in the United States, of course, but we have a lot from Canada, a lot in Mexico, with a lot of retirees that moved down there, and parts of Europe. And this station has already hit the number one level among all stations in several categories. So I'm really excited about all that. And our show is going to grow. It's going to get better. And so stay with us. Here is the number. This is our archive number. 701-719-0994. Call that number anytime, and you can hear 5 shows. You'll hear button number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And we also have online PRN.fm. PRN stands for Progressive Radio Network.fm. They're a little behind on that. We're behind, and the station's behind. Somebody's behind. And you may only hear 1 or 2 or 3 shows, but we're catching up, and we should have that straightened out this week. And also, there's a Podbean, a new thing that we'll explain to you as we go along. Here's some headlines, real quick, and then we'll get to the show. Divine's going to open up with Maya on shamanism. Couple things here. Trump is in the news again, always. In California, Governor Brown has taken on Trump and explaining to the world that we're for the rest of the world when it comes to the climate change thing, because the president, Trump, is trying to get out of that Paris Accord. He doesn't want to do it because the money people, his people, want to back off. They want to keep doing things as they are, whereas much of the world wants to do something to combat climate change. So California is and California is even saying that Brown, the governor, is in touch with China and other countries, and there's a lot of things going on. Be aware that California is a huge state. We have the 6th or 7th biggest economy in the world compared to other states, countries. Okay, that's one headline. Another headline. Trump plans to a reversal on ties with Cuba. His people don't like the idea. They feel that they're trying to come up with an excuse and saying that Cuba, human rights aren't up to date and they need to fix that up. And they're trying to get out of dealing with Cuba, whereas Obama and much of the world wants the United States and Cuba to be more working together. Okay, that's it for the headlines. And now let's get to our show for today. Divine, why don't you get started with our guest, Maya?
Absolutely. Well, super excited to have Maya with us today. Again, she is a very talented and gifted shaman healer. Maya has studied with some great master teachers, including Sri Kaleswar, who's a master healer and Indian saint. Also, Sandra Ingerman, who is author and renowned shaman, who taught Maya soul retrieval and shamanic healing techniques. And Maya has been studying shamanic healing and is a practitioner for over 20 years. So, Maya, welcome, welcome, welcome. Such a pleasure to have you on our show today.
Thank you so much for the introduction, and it's such a blessing to be here with you, too. Thank you. It's a real pleasure and an honor.
Oh, you're very welcome. We're super excited. So let's jump right in and talk a little bit about shamanism and, you know, what shamans actually do. So explain to our audience, what is shamanism and what do shamans do?
Shamanism has been around for 35,000 plus years, and it's the oldest healing methodology on the planet. Siberia is considered the heartland of shamanism, and dates back to, like I said, over 30,000 years. So what is shamanism? Well, shamanism is, you know, lots of things. Shamans don't do just one particular thing. We sort of specialize in certain things. So there are shamans that work with the elements and help bring back pH levels of the water. There are shamans that work with people to bring back parts of their soul that they lost during trauma. We call it soul loss in contemporary, you know, psychology and psychiatry. They call that dissociation, being dissociated from your life, and we call it soul loss, when you lose power in your life and you're lost. You know, there are certain things that we look for in soul retrieval, especially having been through accidents and trauma, childhood abuse, that kind of thing. Is all indicative to soul loss. So there's that. There's power retrieval work that we do. So when we retrieve symbolically a power animal, which is a spirit animal, you hear about it a lot nowadays. People say, you know, they talk about their spirit guide or spirit animal. So we retrieve that where there's spirit attachment, where we're feeling like we're living someone else's life. We're not really ourselves, and we feel someone, something present in our lives. And again, in psychiatrics, you know, in psychiatric terms, that might be called schizophrenia. Well, we call that spirit attachment. So there are, you know, the contemporary versions of contemporary psychology calls it this, and shamanic practitioners, we call it something else, because we look in the spiritual realm for dis-ease, whether it's physical or psychological. We look for that cause in the spiritual world, and that's where we journey to find out what's wrong with that client. So ancient healing methodologies are becoming much more popular nowadays because people are tired of taking prescription medication to deal with their problems, and it's a lot of times a Band-Aid that's put on a big gaping wound, so to speak, and years of that cause a lot of frustration. So I think people tend to seek out ancient healing methodologies now, and they work. So especially in conjunction with psychotherapy, shamanism especially works really, really well. And some, you know, some psychologists recommend working with a shaman because they can't do the soul healing that it takes to speed up the psychological process. So everything is on a continuum, meaning the in our world, we in our methodology, what we look at is everything is set in the spiritual realm first, and that affects the psychological. Psychological affects the physical, and the physical affects the spiritual. It's all a continuum. So when you have a psychologist working with that patient or that client, and they're just working in that aspect, there is usually just the healing is taking place in the psychological, physical aspect, because the psychological affects the physical. So again, when you're working in the spiritual, it affects the psychological. Psychological affects the physical, and then the spiritual. So when you're working in the spiritual realm, everything else speeds up. If you have a physical or psychological ailment, it sure does bring healing quicker than if you're just working in one particular area.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm so happy, to hear that more conventional medicine, psychiatrists and psychologists are interacting with the spiritual realm, and even if they're not experienced, that they are referring work to shamans. That's great, because we are body, mind, and spirit, a union of all three. So wonderful. So how, with your sessions, does a person need to be with you in person, or how are your sessions conducted? How do you work with a person?
I work both long distance and in person, because this work is energy work, and it's outside of time and space. I don't really have to have my clients here with me, but what they receive when they're in person with me is chakra balancing and Shakti Pot, which is transference of divine energy, and we meditate together, so they get those perks. But it's not necessary to have a successful soul retrieval, for example, in person. I do that long distance all the time, so they don't have to travel here. I'm located in Austin, Texas, so they don't have to jump on a plane to come here unless they want to. So that's a difference as far as long distance versus in person.
Mm, I see. Well, that's good to know. So you talk about soul retrieval. Let's talk a little bit more about that soul retrieval, exactly what happens during the process, and also the power animal retrieval.
So when I journey, which is what we do, it's an active process that we're trained to do via a shaman. And by the way, not all shamans that are practicing shamanism are actually shamans, meaning they haven't had the training. Really is from the spiritual realm. But to get to that point, you really have to have some kind of life-threatening occurrence that has happened, whether it's near-death experience or an emotional complete breakdown. What happens when you become a shamanic practitioner or shaman is your whole world falls apart. You're on a journey, and perhaps you're studying spirituality, or somehow you're picked by the spiritual world to do this. It's really incredible. But what happens is your whole life falls apart. Your family, you lose just about everything, whether it's your life or your life the way you knew it, whether it's physical or material or emotional. But there's some breakdown that happens first, and then you And then they sort of, you know, as far as in the spiritual world, our guide sort of put us back together again. And then you find your way into shamanism, or if, you know, a book falls off the shelf in front of you, that kind of thing happens. And then, and it's very, actually very common that something like that, just a miracle happens and you are on that path. Well, people that are seeking a shaman should know that when they interview their shamanic practitioner, that they interview them and find out what their situation was. So if they just went to, you know, an online course and studied shamanism and now they're doing healing work, it's probably not the best, you know, the best result as far as finding someone that works in that field. So that being said, when we travel or journey, I should say not travel, but journey to our power animal, we go to a power spot. We go there by methods of, you know, for me, it's like my power animal, I know is waiting. I feel it. And I will go through drumming, through static drumming. I will journey to my power spot, where I either jump down into what we call the lower world, and I meet my power animal there, and he takes me on a journey. Like, we usually walk together, and I'm discussing my client. Well, a soul essence of that client shows up that has been traumatized at that age. So if it's a five-year-old, and she's had some child abuse, she will show up as a five-year-old and tell me how she can benefit my client. So I'll have a discussion with their soul essence that is left, and that essence is actually the healthy part of that person that left to survive the event. And power animal retrieval is very similar. The power animal shows up the same way and talks to me and lets me know what benefit that spirit guide will bring to my client. And so each power animal has its own medicine, so to speak. So if it's, you know, a bald eagle that shows up that represents freedom, so they talk to me and I bring them back. I walk with them and bring them back into what I do is basically go back. When the drumming stops, I'm back in my body and I blow that essence into my client's heart chakra and crown chakra. If it's and I rattle around them and I welcome them home, and then they record the journey. If it's long distance, I blow those essences into a crystal. And then Mel,
for our listeners, this is Maya. She's a shamanic practitioner. We're talking about shamanism, what it is, and the benefits of it, and the history of it, and how she works with people. It is a great, great healing practice, the oldest one around, 35,000 years. But anyway, I'm Bobby Elias. This is Let's Create a Better World. Our co-host, Divine Aubrey, is interviewing her also. I have a question for you. I really believe that the work that you do as a shamanist and all shamanism is very similar to the work that psychologists do. And just tell us about that and what are the benefits of coming to a shamanist practitioner?
Well, everything's based, all disease is based in the spiritual realm. So in that realm, it's hard for a psychologist to work in that realm. You know, they work with behavior, or behavior modification, or in psychiatry, they work with prescription medications, right? So a lot of the trauma that they experience, meaning the clients, of course, they're, you know, psychologists are good in listening and and letting the client come up with their own conclusions and things like that. Whereas in shamanism, the I call it the shortcut way, because in shamanism we travel outside of time and space, and we go back to exactly when that trauma occurred, or that operation occurred, or their abuse occurred, and we bring back that healthy aspect instantaneously, and it immediately, energetically, that person's changed. And so many of my clients have told me that they have felt, you know, where 5 years of therapy has really yielded very little compared to what shamanism can do for them as far as soul retrieval goes. It's super, super powerful and done in metaphors and years of looking and searching and trying to figure out how to become whole again. Well, that essence does it instantaneously, which psychology just can't do that as quickly. And they don't promise to bring back an essence that is left during trauma as far as the energy, the soul aspect of that client. It's just not possible to promise that, you know. It's not possible for them to promise that you'll be, you know, more whole than when you walked in the door. You know, that's a science, whereas shamanism is experimental, and it's ancient, and it's energy, and it's on a soul level. So it's much different from psychologists, how they operate. But they can go hand in hand, and that's what I love about it. You know, we're not suggesting you give up your psychotherapist or your any therapy that you're doing, or medications or anything like that. It's just that I have seen over the years that when people do this work, they are actually able to throw their prescription drugs away, and they become more healthy, or they are finally able to, you know, to stop seeing their therapist or whatever it may be. So there's huge shifts that happen with this work.
That's great. Good answer. I have another question for you. This is Bobby Elias. We're speaking to Maya about shamanism. The 35,000 years, this is the oldest of all of the healing practices of the world history. And there's a lot of great ones. And I wanted to speak not only about the history of shamanism and the 35,000 years, but other, I know you've studied some ancient healing practices. And for our listeners that don't know much about it, because we don't hear much about them in this country, everything we hear about is doctors and medicine. Could you get into not only the shamanism, 35,000 years, but also more important, more history about all the different modalities of health of the ancient healing ways? Go right ahead, please.
Well, shamanism, being the oldest healing methodology on the planet, basically has affected every, you know, every tradition, every healing tradition, and all religions as well. So, you know, shamanism, you know, the offshoot of shamanism is also, you know, Buddhism and Hinduism. And you look at every, you know, religion and healing methodology on the planet that actually has started with shamanism. So that being said, I think, you know, the ancient healing methodologies I studied, first and foremost shamanism, but also Hinduism, excuse me, and Sri Kaleshwar is a good example of those ancient traditions of India. And most of what we studied as students with Swami was, those were 5,000-year-old processes. So you can see the comparisons, like, you know, 30,000 plus and 5,000. So, you know, they're younger ones, even though they call India Mother India because of they call it the birthplace of spirituality. Well, you know, they're all very similar, except that in the Hindu traditions, a lot of the ancient healing methodologies really began in opening up yourself, your own healing channels, by doing processes and mantras that called the divine into your life to then enable you to do the healing. So it's really not, you know, the practitioners, we're really not the ones doing the healing. It's the divine working through us. Same with shamanism, same with Hinduism. In all ancient traditions, we understand that we're really just, as Sandy Ingerman calls it, the hollow bone. You know, we're just allowing, and we know the gift is that, hey, we've been through that process of, you know, that meltdown in shamanism. That's like a requirement, you know, to get into that healing. And it's being able to ride a wave of no matter what's happening in your world, to remain still and not get shaken up by the world and its circumstances. So we see through the dark, which is what shaman means, is one who sees in the dark. And so these other ancient healing methodologies, same thing. You know, we learn, we're taught to not get shaken up. In India, it's the Maya, you know, M-A-Y-A, Maya, and Mahamaya is, you know, the grand illusion. Everything is an illusion, basically, right? So all, if we're on the planet and we're people living our lives, we're going to get hit by the Maya. And so we're taught in Hinduism that way. We're in shamanism, the truth is with our spirit, our power animals and our spirit guides in the lower world. Whereas in India, it's taught, you know, we're taught to not get phased at all by the Maya that hits. So we learn protection circles by learning mantras that keep us free or somewhat unscathed of the Maya, and that is, you know, by practicing certain you know, mantras and processes that open up our healing channels and keep us free from all that illusion.
One more thing about go ahead, Divine, you have something? Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that's so fascinating and illuminating. You know, this is an excellent introduction to the mysterious power of shamanic healing, you know, by an authentic experienced practitioner. So I just have one question, Maya, regarding, you know, your work with teachers like Sandra Ingerman and Sri Chaliswar. How has that impacted the work that you do?
Well, you know, with Sandy, I was drawn to shamanism for a while before it just presented itself to me. Basically, you know, I called out for it, and almost immediately found, by way of accident, quote unquote, a shaman in my area that I apprenticed with, and he told me about the Foundation for Shamanic Studies, which I joined almost immediately and took their basic workshop, and then went on to study with Sandra Ingerman, who wrote the book Soul Retrievals, Mending the Fragment Itself. And she, how did she impact me? I mean, amazing. She's an amazing woman and author. And I highly recommend reading that book because it really goes into more in depth about what soul retrieval work is. And she was taught by her power animals. She was obviously journeying, and she had a connection with her power animals, but she was taught soul retrieval work completely by her power animals, and found out later that it's ancient, that this is ancient work that, you know, she'd never read about. So she was, how did she impact me? She was, it's hard to put into words because she really set me on my path. And she's just one of my heroes, one of my spiritual heroes on the planet. And she's really a lot out of the limelight. You know, where you have these characters that are in, that become super famous, and they're doing the talk show circuit. She's really, true shamans are really, they don't like that. You know, they're fly under the radar somewhat, and she does really good work. So For that reason, I just admire her, because she sets the, she has brought soul retrieval back to the Western world single-handedly. That's how I describe her, but she's also super gifted shaman, but she doesn't call herself that, which is exactly what shamans do. We don't call ourselves shamans. We call ourselves shamanic practitioners. We're called shamans by the community. And she's very much like that. She's amazing. Sri Kaleshwar, he is no longer on the planet. He took off, some years ago, but I studied with him for 10 years, and he taught me, each tradition I studied with is an offshoot of shamanism anyway. So we always start out studying the five elements. I've studied the five elements three times with three different traditions, and that's what we did with Sri Kaleshwar. We call him Swami, and he taught the five elements process, which is working with all five elements and connecting with that, because we're all made of the five elements, so it makes sense to open up our healing channels using those elements. And he taught me... Wow, I mean, with him, I've seen miracles. I've seen miracles with my own two eyes working in with him. And he used to teach us that miracles is not, mm-hmm. it's not the end. It's not what we reach for is the miracles. He used to call them chocolates. He used to tell us there's more. And so... I could go on about all of the teachers I've studied with and all of the sages and saints, and I've been very blessed to have somehow, you know, I don't know how I get pulled into it. Each story is amazing, how I've met these saints, and Swami's one, but when I look back on my dream journal and I read it, in one of my dreams, he had paged me years before I met him. So, and he kept calling my name, and I know that was him. When I met him, I knew it was him. So, I don't know. I just, I always say yes. I always surrender, and I go toward the, when there's learning, spirituality and growth involved, I will go, and sometimes it's been very, very difficult, but I've surrendered my life to that. So it's been interesting, to say the least.
Great, great. We're speaking to Maya. She is a shamanic practitioner. We're talking about shamanism and ancient healing and all the benefits and how just so many things are happening, people that are preferring this method more and more. And I just want you to know, Maya, that our radio station, Progressive Radio Network, and particularly our show, we're into healing. We're into all the healing methods of the world, of body, mind, spirit, aging. We're into spirituality, which means shamanism, I believe, falls somewhere in that category of spirituality and old healing methods. And I just want your thoughts on this, that the world's changing, not only because Trump has come on and women and people are protesting, and all over the world there's crazy things are happening, and people are scared, they're worried, but I know that there's certain energy, I didn't bring it up today, but I'll bring it up next week. There are a lot of energy healers that I know of that are now going to healers because they're all energied out from all this stuff going on in the country, because a lot of them work with immigrants, for example, and immigrants are worried to death about what's going to happen to them and being sent back to another country. There's a lot of that going on, a lot of things going on. But I would like your take on just all the new healing methods that are going on, not just shamanism, but other things of spirituality, Hinduism, Buddhism. And if you could just touch on some of these new things, old things that are people need to learn about and hear about, other methods besides what we learn in school and in church and all the books and all the TV and the media. Because what you do and what Divine and I do is just alternative health, progressive health, holistic health, and just everything to do with body, mind, spirit. That's what this show is all about. We're happy and proud of that, and it's making us better people. And we're dedicated, Divine and I, to teach all of our listeners how to live a healthier life, help body, mind, spirit, exercise, the food they eat, and all the spiritual things, such as what you're bringing up today. I would like your take on the changes going on in the world today as far as the future of the world and insofar as all the healing practice modalities. Go right ahead, please.
Okay. So, and that's a good question. People often ask me that. Years ago, I studied with a South Korean meditation group, and I stayed with them for about 5 years. And again, you know, they taught the five elements. They taught me the yin and yang principles of, you know, male and feminine energy. And also, they taught me that the principles of the universe and how they describe this, and I still teach this today because I believe very much that that is truth, is this. The universe has seasons like our planet. And so our planet, during, in between seasons, we see the most chaos, like between spring and summer, there's hurricanes and there's tornadoes and floods and this and that. You know, when you look at the weather, just the seasons, in between seasons, there's the most chaos. And the way they described it to me was, you know, we're coming out of summer, and we're moving into the fall. And that's the season of our universe, is the fall. And we're feminine and masculine energies are equal. So the male energy that dominated summer was suppressed feminine energy 3-2. That means, you know, there's, you know, the energy of 2 is female, the energy of male is 3. So they dominated. But now we're about to move into equal energy, you know, which is 3-3. We're equal, feminine and masculine, which is the uprising of women that are, you know, just think about it. 100 years ago, we were able to vote. I mean, that wasn't very long ago. And we're marching in the streets and we're fighting for equality. And so that makes sense. Also, the equal energy means, in autumn, means returning to our roots. So in autumn, the water returns to its roots and the leaves fall off the tree, right? So it's very symbolic because we are also returning to our roots as a collective consciousness. We are looking at, you know, we're much more than, you know, the toys we earn, the money we earn. We, you know, there's more to life than this. And the greed, we're seeing that sort of come to the surface. And we are now choosing where we want to be. Do we want that? We know that's not long lasting. There's no fulfillment there. And unless you, you know, have the fulfillment, then money, you know, or I call money an exchange of energy. So if you have the money and you're giving back to the world and you're making the world a more beautiful place and you're humanitarian, you're helping people, great. But the bottom line is it's if we haven't already returned to our roots, which is our spiritual side, then we will eventually. So all the chaos that's happening in the world today is really just a rising up of the dysfunction and the chaos before we move into a new season, which is equality. So I see that happening just exactly the way they described it, including politics. Russia, they had mentioned, this was years ago. So there's other traditions around the world that are practicing a type of meditation that is you know, just as powerful as shamanism and just as powerful as Hinduism and Buddhism. And I think there's a golden thread that runs through all of our teachings around the planet right now. And one of them is don't get shaken. Don't get in the fear space. Pull back. You don't, no matter what's happening, what you're seeing with politics, you know, instead of putting all our energy on that, which is creating more of that, to look away and go inward. And that's the main thing, is choose to bring our own vibration up really, really high, so we can survive anything, basically, and so that we're not shaken up and living our lives in fear.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, we've got about 10 minutes left. Divine, did you have any more thoughts or things you wanted to ask her?
I just want to say I love it. I love the concept or the ideology of returning to our roots. For me, that's what it's all about. That correlates so closely, you know, with the work I do with the chakras and the clearing of one's energy. So, yes, like Maya said, we could go on and on. I'd love to invite Maya to come back and be on our show. Mm-hmm. And Maya, how would one actually contact you to find out more about soul retrieval and power animal retrieval?
They can visit my site at soulretrievals.com, which is with it, it's plural. So soulretrievals.com. And check out my site. If you resonate with me, then feel free to contact me, because I offer a 15-minute complimentary consultation. I offer sliding scale fees, so I've never turned people away over money. I like to help people, and if people don't resonate or they feel like they want to work with a local practitioner, I have lots of friends around the country that are shamanic practitioners, and I can point them in the right direction. So, feel free to reach out via my form on my website, or you can just email me directly at Maya, M-A-I-A, at soulretrievals.com. Should I give out my phone number? maybe not. I don't know.
How many, sure, go ahead.
I don't know how many millions of listeners there are, but here goes, 310-922-3987. That's 310-922-3987. And I'm located in Austin, Texas. But I've obviously lived in California with a 310 area code. So reach out to me. I'll help you if I can. And I'll sure point you the right direction.
This is Maya that we're speaking to about shamanism and about healing and about the ancient ways of life and soul retrieval, which is wonderful. And everything you're saying, which I'm happy that Divine wants to have you on again. And we'll come up with, I think you and Divine and I, we can all talk about what we can talk about in the future. But we need to get more historical, more spirituality, because of the shift that's going on in the world, because of all the problems. And like you said, there's a good time that's coming up. And I just want to say this, the Mayans, Nostradamus, and many other indigenous healers and wisdom people have pointed out to the fact that we're going to have a rough time for a while, but it's going to get better. There's going to be a mm-hmm. more peaceful, healing, loving time in the future, with less wars and less fighting and less bad energy, and a better, more healers, more people that are more conscious of good things. And that's the way our show is called, Let's Create a Better World. It started out because we were bringing up all the wrongs in this world and this society and the politics, and we want to come up with solutions and answers and things that we can do. And it's coming to a head, because I do see and I do believe in the Mayan history. For those of you listeners that don't know, but the Mayan history, and I'm sure our guest Maya will know that, because her name is almost like the Mayans, spelled a little differently. But the Mayans, the Mayans were in the year 800, 1,300 plus years ago, they were here in the Americas, when southern Mexico to northern Guatemala and other places. And they were, in my opinion, the most cultured, the most educated, the most people that were into healing and love and goodness. They did so many things. They, listen to this. This is great. they did brain surgery back in the day. We're talking about 800, the year 800. They did it, and they healed people in their brains with surgery. They studied the astronomy. They studied the planets like nobody, especially in that time. But even today, they could outbeat some of the astronomers from their history. They were artists. They did so many wonderful things. They knew science. They were into health, deep, big time, really all the elements of health. They were just a wonderful people. And what I'm trying to say is the indigenous ways, as you study them, Maya, are just wonderful. And I like to see everything what you're talking about is history. It's shamanism that goes back 35,000 years, as you said. And I just want to see more and more history come out. We've only got a few minutes left, so you've given your contact information. Can you give us your final thoughts for the next 3 or 4 minutes, please?
Well, I love what you're doing. I love this show. I love that you're focused on that. I think a lot of the things that we talked about always brings us right back to the spiritual side of things, which in the West we ignore mostly.
Right.
Spirituality. I mean, as far as religion goes, you know, we have, you know, these religions that we rely on and call spirituality, but they're two different things. Spirituality is based in self-discipline, and religion is based in obedience, right? So if you have if you're a spiritual person, you have religion, that's great, because spirituality actually enhances religion, and religion needs spirituality. Without spirituality, religion really can't stand on its own 2 feet. It's only dogma. So a lot of people call religion dogma, but I don't think it is if it has spirituality, because then you have the self-discipline that goes along with it, and it's not dogma anymore. But spirituality doesn't need religion to stand on its own 2 feet. It's because of, you know, based on self-discipline. Well, so that being said, if we need spirituality, even in religion, then why not focus there? Why not study and become a practitioner of some spiritual practice, because it's based in self-discipline? It's not just, you know, reading a book. It's actually meditating and doing mantras, or seeking out a shaman, or seeking out an energy healer that you can work with to experiment with that, because it is experimental. And whereas science has this, you know, they have these outcomes that they can, it's very analytical and left brain, but spirituality is right brain, creative, you know, visualization, going inward. We're still learning, but these ancient cultures already knew this. We're relearning what we already know, but a lot of us have that, because we all have it in our DNA. This, these teachings, we resonate with it, but it's just a matter of time when it's going to happen for others. So we don't want to, you know, we don't want to arm wrestle people into this. I think there's an awakening happening all the way around, all of, you know, around the planet, and we will. At some point, there will be a tipping point, and more people will be in it than not. But we're just right there at the cusp. I feel like that's going to happen very soon. It's speeding up through politics. Yes. We're really speeding up, and things look really dismal. But it's time to turn the TV off and go inward and just really start taking control and getting our power back, because we're powerless when we watch that stuff, and we're not. Right. We're not powerless. So my my last thought on all of that, a current situation is, current times, is just to keep going inward and bring more light into our DNA and stay in bliss and joy and love and away from the fear.
Well said. You're a true spiritual healer, and we love you, and thank you for being with us on the show and all your great insight.
Thank you.
I echo,
thank you. I love you both very much. Thank you for having me on the show, Bobby, and you too, Divine. Namaste.
Oh, thank you, Maya.
Yeah, the Divine, I like what you said about asking, inviting her again. We'd like to get you on again, and the three of us will put our heads together and come up with a real good agenda. And our goal is to teach and educate and inform our listeners of things that they may not have heard, and the indigenous ways and some of the healing practices that both of you do, because Divine, for those who don't know, is a real healer. Chakras, meditation, breathing. You do a lot of things, Divine, and I'm just blessed to have you on as a co-host of this show. But again, thank you so much, Maya, for being here for this.
Thank you very much. God bless you both.
Okay. Divine, what do you think? Your thoughts?
Oh, I think it's great. I'm looking forward to Maya coming back and specifically, you know, talking more about the five elements. I know I was introduced to the five elements through Sri Kaleswar when I first met him years ago when he was still here on the planet. And it was something kind of foreign to me. So I'd like, you know, Maya to speak more when she visits again on that work and how the five elements actually affect our everyday life. Because like I was like, the five elements, I mean, of course, you know what the five elements are, but how does that affect our day-to-day living? Because like Maya, my intention in the work that I do is to fully activate, you know, our spiritual powers to know and heal ourselves, you know, and heal others so we can live in perfect joy and peace and love and happiness, which I feel, you know, we were designed to do, and we've just gotten distracted by all the side activity and chatter, the TV, the radio, and everyone else's opinion. So I'm super excited, very grateful for Maya, very grateful for the show, Let's Create a Better World, and looking forward to, you know, great things happening in the future that we can share with the audience.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Maya. And I spoke to Maya about more how we can get more shows out. This is a word to all our listeners that there's not only a movement, all the different movements going on, but there's a movement in social media, as you probably know, Facebook and YouTube, and there's seminars, there's webinars, there's information coming out left and right on health and about new ways to make this a better world. So it's right up our alley, Divine, and I'm just excited about
that. Exactly. And Bobby, not to interrupt you, but with that, I'd like to give the web address for our Podbean, because that's pretty much up to date, too, where people can hear the archive. So it is www.letscreateabetterworld.podbean.com. And Podbean is podbean.com. And that is pretty much up to date with all our archives. So if they have a problem reaching it on prn.com, it's Let's Create a Better World, the name of our show, .podbean.com.
Podbean, let me spell that for our listeners. P is in Paul, O is in Oscar, D is in dog. Bean is in like a bean that you eat, B-E-A-N. B is in boy, E is in elastic, A is in apple, N is in Nancy. Oh, great, great. This is wonderful. Let me just make some announcements, and we'll both say goodbye to everybody, Divine. But next, we give a quick summary of next week's show, Divine, please.
Oh, yes. We're going to have the fabulous teacher, Veronica Gabriel, who has been studying Course in Miracles for 30-plus years, a great master teacher looking forward. I have worked with her personally. She's one of my mentors. So she's going to be with us next week on June 19th on the show.
Right, Monday, 7 p.m.
I think the following week it's going to be Bobby the Marengo.
No. It's going to be, the following week it may be part of the Gold, Joe Gold. He's done the Marengo work. He may or may not be on, but if he is on, he may be only for half the show, and we may have someone else for the other half the show. We're still working on that, but for sure next week, Veronica will be on with the show you just mentioned. Let me give a couple
perfect.
Numbers out. The archive number, and we've got some great shows in the archives. So, I'll go in length the next week and give you some of the shows that you can get on the archives. There's five different shows, 24 hours a day. Call this number, area 701 719 0094. my number. I'm Bobby Elias, 323-770-1925. And I want to thank everybody that's been on the show. I want to thank Maya, our guest. I want to thank you, Divine, for being a great co-host. We can say goodbye at the very end, but thank yous to our PRN staff in New York, Jesse, the director, and Kelsey, the engineer today. And I want to thank our Let's Create a Better World crew, associate producers, Greg and Lydia, doing a great job. And I want to thank you, the listeners. And anyway, any goodbye words of wisdom for you from you before we go to the song? Are you
Happy
there?
Monday. Hello? Yes. I didn't know if you were speaking to me or Maya. Happy Monday, many blessings, and namaste.
Beautiful, beautiful. Always well said.
Much love to everyone. Thank you again.
Thank you, thank you. You're both wonderful. I
love
both of you so much.
Thank you, Maya, for coming on.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
Have a great
listeners,
day.
We'll have you on again next week, Monday, 7 o'clock. Thank you, everyone. And now with song.
I can show you the world, shining, shimmering, splendid. Tell me, princess, now when did you last let your heart decide? I can open your eyes, take you wonder by wonder, over, sideways, and under, on a magic carpet ride. A whole new world, a new fantastic point of view. No one to tell us no, or where to go, or say we're only dreaming.
A whole new world, a dazzling place I never knew. But now from way up here, it's crystal clear that now I'm in a whole new world with you. Unbelievable sights, indescribable feeling, soaring, tumbling, freewheeling through an endless diamond sky. A whole new shooting star. I've come so far, I can't go back to where I used to be.
With new horizons to pursue,
I'll chase them anywhere. There's time to spare.
Let me share this whole.
Thrilling change,
a wondrous place for you and